All right. Our next case this morning is United States versus New Bern, case number 2010-12-72. Mr. Hansmeier.
May it please the court, counsel. Dan Hansmeier again. This time for Theron New Bern. The issue in this case is pretty simple. Has to do with whether a limited remand should be ordered based on, I guess, Welton being overruled. And I think there's one distinction in this case between the parties' argument, and it goes to the premise of our argument. And the premise of our argument is that when this court decided United States v. Welton, it held that the career offender guidelines were mandatory. And that's the premise of the argument. Assuming that premise is correct, the conclusion follows that when Welton was overruled by Korner, that decision is analogous to Palladino, United States v. Taylor, these cases where you have this court saying, look, the court had no discretion to depart, to vary downward from the guidelines in this case, and we were wrong about that. In Palladino, you know, you're talking about Booker. In Taylor, you're talking about Kimbrough. And this court says, look, the district court didn't have discretion, so I think there's that. I think that this court said it would be like spitting in the wind to make that argument in the district court. And so, therefore, this court, in the plein air cases, essentially, you know, does this limited remand procedure and asks the district court, in the Taylor-Kimbrough instance, do you want to resentence this defendant based on the disparity? If the court says yes, then you remand for full resentencing. If the court says no, you affirm. Well, that's our position in this case, that because Welton instructed district courts to treat the career offender guidelines as mandatory, and because that was incorrect, and because Mr. Newborn was sentenced between the time Welton was decided and Korner overruled Welton, therefore, this court needs to order a limited remand and ask the district court whether it wants to vary downward in this career offender case.
Well, the issue in Welton and subsequently in Korner was just this narrow issue of the crack powder disparity and whether that was mandatory or not. Yeah. And I don't know how your client's sentence guidelines range was affected by that.
No, I mean, you're right. It wasn't. I mean, it's not a crack disparity case. So I think if our premise is incorrect, if you're saying that our premise is incorrect, that Welton only said that the guidelines were mandatory in crack cases or that the disparity couldn't be considered in career offender cases, then that's the distinction. I think our position is different than that based on what this court said in Welton. And I think, you know, and this quote from Korner talking about Welton, that the floor in 4B1.1 is linked to the statutory maximum sentence. The crime of conviction does not make 4B1.1 itself a statute. It remains a guideline. We overruled Welton to the extent it holds that 4B1.1 differs from other guidelines. So I think our position is that, look, if you read Welton, it's true that the facts of that case involve the disparity. But what we're saying is that a district court reading Welton reads that language and says, in the language from Welton, deviating from the career offender guideline range based on a policy disagreement necessitates that the sentencing court disregard those statutory maximums. This asks more of a sentencing court than it can deliver because while the sentencing guidelines may be only advisory for district judges, congressional legislation is not. So the idea is that Welton links the career offender guideline through 994H to the statute, and
but
therefore
only insofar as that crack powder disparity is embedded in both, right?
I mean, I see what you're saying, and I see that based on the facts of the case. But from a
that's how we read cases, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're a district court judge and you get this opinion and you read it and you hear this language about, you know, the statutory maximum in this guideline range, you know, this guideline range being linked to a statutory maximum via 994H, and this court saying, that's error to deviate downward because of that link. I mean, essentially what this court is saying is that that's not a guideline, it's a statute. And that's what this court said in Corner, that we got that wrong. This is a guideline, it's not a statute. So I mean, that's the argument, that while Welton and Corner are crack disparity cases, and while there is a disparity linked to the statutory maximum in the career offender guideline, the proposition in Welton essentially instructed district courts to treat the career offender guideline as mandatory. That's our position, and it's based on what this court said in Welton. And we think it's a reasonable interpretation. This case, you know, there's some language that the district court said about career offenders, you know, not being able to vary downward, although there's it's not really very good for us. But, I mean, I don't know that the I don't really have much to say about what the district court said, because I think if our premise is correct, remand is required under Taylor, under a Taylor-type approach, because at the time Mr. Newborn was sentenced, the district court couldn't vary downward based on the career offender range. So I think that if the premise is correct, that Welton links 4B1.1 to the statute and therefore makes it more of a statute than a guideline, and you can't deviate from it, Mr. Newborn deserves a limited remand based on those principles. And any more questions? Okay, thanks.
Mr. Hartzler.
Thank you again. I mean, obviously, if the premise is correct, they're right, but the problem is the premise is simply incorrect. Welton is a progeny of United States versus Spencer Harris. That's the case in which this court said in its final paragraph, a sentence entered under the career offender guideline raises no Kimbrough problem because to the extent it treats crack cocaine differently from powder cocaine, the disparity arises from a statute, not from the advisory guidelines. And as a result of Spencer Harris, then we had Millbrook, then we had Welton, which provided that where there's a disparity, you must ignore that disparity and sentence pursuant to the career guidelines. But all of those cases make it abundantly clear, as does Welton, when it cites Harris, says, our analysis should not be read to suggest that 4B1.1 is any less advisory for a district judge than the other sentencing guidelines. I think the argument seems to be that somehow there's a difference between guidelines that are advisory or categorically advisory as opposed to individually advisory. I've never seen that in the case law. I don't think Booker supports that. If there are no further questions, then I will yield the remainder of my time, especially since I went over time last time. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hartzler. Mr. Hansmeier, anything further?
Just on those cases they cite, Harris and Millbrook, those cases are pre-Welton. So, yeah, I mean, they say that. They absolutely say that, that 4B1 is advisory. But I still think because they're pre-Welton, if you follow, you know, the precedential time frame here, you take the most recent case, if you're a district court, you still have Welton that says, look, 4B1.1 is linked to a statute, and it's a congressional mandate, and therefore you can't depart downward or vary downward. So I think, you know, the fact that those cases are pre-Welton is my response. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.